And that's all there is to it, see?
Yes, I see.
Well?
Oh, I don't know.
Hey, listen. I got to hurry to get back on Terracotta. It's you that's sailing, not me.
Hurry up. What do you say?
All right.
You'll do it?
I'll do it.
Today's radio play, Shipmate, is based on a most interesting story taken from the pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.
In here, Mr. Barr. Sit down. That's it. Now, before our case is called, I think we ought to go through your testimony, just as I'll take you through it on the witness stand.
Good. I don't want any slip-up, Corkin. This is the first time anything like this has happened to me.
We'll begin at the beginning. The clerk will ask you your full name.
G. Underwood Barr.
That's right. Then I'll come over to you and I'll ask you what is your occupation. And being a millionaire who is no longer actively engaged in business, you'll say...
Retired businessman.
Exactly. Then I'll ask you where you were on the night of June 2nd.
I was aboard the steamship Royal Castle.
That was your first night out, I believe.
Yes.
Did you appear on deck during the evening?
No. My health wasn't very good, and I remained in my cabin, having my meals served to me. I wanted rest and quiet.
You remained in seclusion for the first few days of the voyage?
Yes. It was about the third or fourth day out that I appeared on deck.
What happened?
The purser met me.
Morning, Mr. Barber.
Good morning, Purser.
Fine day today. Glad you're feeling well enough to be on deck, sir.
Thank you. Where is my chair?
Right over here, sir. The deck steward had it fixed in a nice, sheltered spot.
Yes. Very nice, Purser. Very nice indeed. This is fine.
Let me put the robe around you, Mr. Barber.
Thank you.
There you are. Anything else I can do for you, sir?
No, I'm very comfortable.
Very good, sir. Just call me if you want anything,
sir.
Good morning, Mr. Barr.
Yes? Why, good morning, Miss. Have we met before?
Oh, you don't know me, but I know you. Everyone knows G. Underwood Barr.
You flatter me and put me at a disadvantage, Miss.
Baker. Thelma Baker. We heard you were on board and wondered when we were going to see the great financier in person.
My health isn't very good, Miss Baker.
We heard that, too. Oh, yes. You were the subject of dining salon conversation for the first 2 days.
Oh, what? Only good for 2 days?
Oh, interest has been revived with your appearance this morning. Everyone's telling everyone else, Mr. Barr's on deck, G. Underwood Barr's able to come out on deck.
You're making me feel like a groundhog or a hermit.
That's what we thought you were going to be. A hermit, I mean.
Oh, that's all right, my dear. Like the groundhog. I came out to see if the sun was shining.
And having seen your shadow?
I shall stay out the rest of the trip.
Oh, splendid. Is there anything I can do for you?
Well, now, my dear, this is most kind of you, but there's nothing that I need, really.
You see, I'm a nurse by profession. It will give me pleasure to assist you in any way or make you more comfortable. Well,
thank you, Miss Major. I appreciate your offer. But there's nothing for you to do.
Quite sure?
Quite sure.
Well, I'll keep an eye on you anyway and see that you're comfortable.
Thank you.
And safe from harm.
What harm could come to me?
You never can tell. Some adventurous woman might try to vamp you.
Vamp me? Impossible.
Aren't you the millionaire, Bob?
Well, I've made enough money to retire.
There, you see? That's excuse enough for any woman. So from now on, I'm going to take you under my wing.
Baker spent quite some time with you during the voyage.
Yes. He brought me my tea or a new book now and then. Finally, as my health improved and my strength returned, he got me interested in the various activities for the entertainment of the passengers. One afternoon, as we were taking a stroll on the promenade deck,
well, what's on the program this afternoon, Mr. Barr?
Anything you suggest, my dear.
Walking on the after deck,
upstairs an idea.
What's an idea?
Horse racing on the after deck. Joining us, Mr. Barr?
Why, I don't know.
Of course he is, Miss Fraser. Mr. Barr is a great sportsman.
Splendid. Come right this way, sir.
Horse racing? On a ship?
Of course. Look, there are the entries.
Those wooden horses and jockeys lined up at the end of that oilcloth chart?
Yes.
How do they race?
The purser rings his bell for the start. Then a passenger throws the dice. The black one stands for the horse. The white one tells how many spaces along the chart he is to be moved.
Oh.
The first horse to reach the finish line wins.
Oh, I see.
Oh, it's really quite thrilling.
Indeed, I've never watched such a race.
Oh, I almost forgot. You can place a bet on your favorite. A ticket costs a quarter, and if you pick a winner, it pays 5-1.
Well.
All bets, right?
Wait a minute, Sir Percy. Which number shall I take it to?
3 is my lucky number.
3 it shall be. Here's my bet, Percy. Number 3 to win.
Right you are, sir. All bets placed. They're off in another fast race. Number 6. 1.
Horse number 6 moves up one space, Mr. Barr.
Yes.
Number 2. 3.
Darn it. Come on, number 3.
Number 3. 1.
Number 3 must have heard you.
Number 5. 2. Number 6. 1.
Oh, come on, number 3. You ought to encourage your horse, Mr. Barr.
All right. Come on, number 3.
That's it.
Number 3. 5.
5 places. That brings us out in the field and into the open, Mr. Barr.
Number 5. 4.
Oh, that's not so good. Come on, number 3.
Number 3. 1.
Good old number 3. You sure heard his master's voice.
Number 6. 1.
Our horse is just coasting now.
Number 3. 5.
Is that so? Coasting, is he?
Ah.
Well, space is 3 more and he's the winner.
Come on, number 3.
That's right.
Number 5, 6.
Oh,
number 3 and number 5 are tied.
Here's the decision.
Number 2, 1.
Ooh, the suspense is awful. Come on, number 3.
This will tell the story.
Number 6, 2.
Here comes the winning spurt.
Number 1, 5.
Number 5's ahead. We've lost.
No. Number 1 gets moved 5 spaces. 5 and 3 stay where they are.
Oh, yes, of course. Goodness, I'm so excited.
Me too.
4 spaces for number 3.
Well.
Number 3 is the winner. Congratulations, Mr. Barr.
Thank you. This is the first time I ever won anything.
Oh, yes, you're winning. Which number will you take this time?
Oh, none. I think I'll retire at the height of my career. It's a habit I have.
I'm sorry to hear that. You're off to a winning start.
No.
Place your bet on
the next race. Well, what are you going to do with your winnings, Mr. Barr?
Can't you guess?
Don't tell me you're going back into business.
Well, no. But since the winning number was your suggestion, I'm going to get you something at the souvenir stand.
Why, Mr. Barr?
Don't say another word. I insist on getting you a little memento.
Am I refusing it?
And that was the only purchase you made while on shipboard?
Absolutely. I bought a bracelet in the form of a ship rope with the name Steamship Royal Castle on it.
Did this metal rope have a knot in it?
Yes. The knot formed a sort of bow, and across it was the name of the ship.
This knot was an ordinary seaman's knot?
Yes. As far as I was concerned, it was.
When did you learn of the rumor about you, Mr. Barr?
A few evenings after the bracelet was purchased. Miss Baker and I strolled up near the wireless room.
The radio operator has an all-wave set, Mr. Barr. Maybe we'll hear some broadcasts from the good old USA.
Well, I wish we could get some news bulletins.
Personally, I'd rather hear Rudy Valley's orchestra.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Barr. Want to hear some of them American stations?
Yes.
Oh, please.
Right, Al. Let's see what's on the air tonight.
Oh,
there you are.
Oh, they're playing Dark Eyes. Oh, I love it.
93XAL, Bombrook, New Jersey. Before signing off, we'll give you the latest news flashes as issued by the radio press.
Here we are. News for you.
Many thousands were killed or injured today when another earthquake took its toll in northern Japan. President Roosevelt outlines a new policy as he struggles to hold the industries under the cold.
Good.
And here's a flag from mid-ocean. Cupid has again proved his marksmanship if the report received today is true. On board the steamship Royal Castle, feeding back to New York from the West Indian cruise, are a happy couple engaged to be married.
What's this?
Let's go, shall we?
No, I want to.
Miss Selma Baker, pretty New York nurse.
Why, that's you.
And G. Underwood Barr, corn plaster king.
Yeah, what's this all about?
Silver bracelet fashioned like a rope tied with a true lover's knot is said to be the token of the engagement.
Why, of all the... Of all the preposterous nerve.
I say, congratulations.
How dare they say such things? It's utterly ridiculous. Miss Baker, I won't have our names linked in any such silly manner.
Why, Mr. Barr, I do believe you're angry.
Of course I am. This is the first time I've heard of any such report. How could the news people make such an unfounded statement?
Unfounded? Why, I radiogrammed that announcement to the papers yesterday.
You did? I have you discharged. On whose authority did you send out anything about me?
Oh, don't be so mad, Mr. Barr. Come along and...
Why, this little lady here gave me the message to send, Mr. Barr, sir.
You sent it, Miss Baker?
It was just a joke, Mr. Barr.
It's no joke to me. Permit me to escort you to your cabin.
And from that time on, you avoided the society of the young lady in question.
I most certainly did. When we landed in New York and I was served with papers suing me for breach of promise, I was hounded for words. The whole thing is a ridiculous mistake.
At no time did you propose marriage to the young woman?
No, never.
You didn't make love to her?
I did not.
She states in her affidavit that you called her my dear and showed great affection for her.
I called her my dear just as you call any pretty young woman, or younger than yourself, my dear.
And that's our defense, Mr. Barr. Too bad you haven't any witnesses. It's going to be tough bucking a pretty young woman in that courtroom.
Perhaps she won't appear.
Why do you suppose she's sued? Of course she'll appear. And all dressed up in her best bib and tucker for the camera boys. Now, come in.
Miss Baker,
the defendant. See here, young lady.
Mr. Barr, my lawyers are out there now asking that it be thrown out of court.
What? Let me get out there.
Miss Baker, you know there never was any ground for a breach of promise. How could you choose that?
I know, Mr. Barr. I'm terribly sorry. Believe me, I am. But I had to have money. To get my kid brother out of a jam.
What?
He got mixed up with some gangsters. He knew you were going to be on the Royal Castle, and it looked like the best way to get the money.
But you're dropping the suit. How are you going to get the money now?
I don't have to get it now.
You mean your brother's out of this difficulty with the criminals?
Yes. They shot him down last night.
Be sure to read the story of the attempt to get money from an elderly millionaire by a pretty young woman when it appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. It'll be found under the title, Vamped by an Adventuress on Shipboard. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer.
Did I not sing well enough for your kid's tie of a cabaret? How dare you call this cabaret a pigsty?
How dare you call these pigsties a cabaret?
Nah, enough of such talk. Why you should have this great honor conferred upon you is more than...
Honor? What are you talking about?
His Excellence wishes me to bring you to his table.
And who is his Excellence?
Yeah, stupid. Where have you been all evening? Did you not know we have the honor to be entertaining His Excellence, Sheikh Abdul Yusuf Ben Abdel?
What?
The Pasha of Karameh?
Oh, monsieur, why did you not tell me at once?
Tell you at once? That is just...
Oh, Ben Abdel, take me to him, take me to him.
Your Excellence.
Oh, you have brought her.
Good. Permit me to present to you, Your Excellence, Mademoiselle Caesar Conde.
Your Excellence.
Mademoiselle has pleased me with her singing. Would she do me the honor to be my guest at my palace in Karamez?
I am the one who is honored, and I accept Your Excellence's gracious invitation.
Today's radio play, Oasis of Love, is based on a most interesting story taken from the pages of next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast.
And now we come to the central square of Karameh. It is called the meeting place of the dead.
How strange, Your Excellence.
Strange, mademoiselle?
Yes, you call it the meeting place of the dead when it is so full of life. Snake charmers, jugglers, fire eaters, clowns.
Well, I suppose that is strange to European ears. But you forget it was named many years ago.
Oh, we too. Time changes many things, Your Excellence. Your Excellence.
Mademoiselle?
What is that man doing with the tambourine?
Oh, that is Ahmed Ali, the most famous storyteller in Morocco. He's about to tell a story, and he's announcing the fact with the tambourine.
A story? Oh, I want to hear it.
Inshallah, I will tell you the story of the foolish Sultan.
A favorite story of ours.
Indeed.
Once, in the old time, there was a sultan who had a very beautiful wife. He gave her everything her heart desired. Whatever she asked for, the sultan saw that her wish was fulfilled. One day, his favorite wife said to the sultan, "Bring me a covering for my couch." He brought her one. She threw it away. "This is no good," she said. The sultan was troubled. "What shall I bring thee then?" he asked. "Bring me one of silk," the wife replied. So the sultan went and returned with the finest silk coverlet that could be found in all the land. He had his slaves spread it over the wife's couch. He expected her to be greatly pleased with such a beautiful covering. But she only glanced at it and said, "No, it will not do." The sultan was astonished, but he wished to please his beautiful favorite. "If this will not do, what wilt thou have?" And the wife answered, "Bring me a covering of feathers." So the sultan sent for all the birds of the world. He wished to pull out their feathers to make the bed covering for his wife. The birds came, but there was one bird that stayed away until sundown. It was the owl. Now the sultan lived in a time when the birds could talk. So he asked the owl, "Why did you not come this morning?" And the owl replied, "My lord, I have been counting over the men and the women, and counting over the days and the night." Then the sultan asked, "Which are more in number, the men or the women?" And the owl answered, "The women are more in number." "Which are more in number, the days or the night?" continued the sultan. To which the owl replied, "The days are more in number." The sultan was surprised. "Why are there more days? Tell me, is there not one night for each day?" And the owl said, "My lord, the night when there is the moon, we owls count as days." "But," asked the sultan, "in the case of the men and the women, does not every man marry a woman?" The owl blinked solemnly. "My lord, the man who follows the advice of a woman is a woman." That is the way I have heard the tale from the great ones, and so I tell it to you. Inshallah!
Oh, that is very interesting.
Oh, it is only a story.
Oh, certainly it is only a story. But still, it is very interesting. Oh, tell me, Your Excellence, what is this Bouzdir I've heard so much about?
Bouzdir? Do not mention Bouzdir to me.
Oh, I did not know. Forgive me, Your Excellence.
Forgive me, Mademoiselle. That was not your fault. It is only that Mullah al-Hasrin, that child of the evil one, with his boots there, collects more money than I can here in Karamish.
Is there nothing you can do about it?
Nothing. Boots there is outside my province at Casablanca. Oh. There in white, shining past the houses, with grilled windows, towers, and archways, there Mullah al-Hasrin has established an entertainment center with tattooed daughters of Islam, killed in the oval of a roguish eye.
And do they have a gaming casino there, too?
No, no. Dancing, gaming, and the weed that gives pleasant hours of dreams are forbidden.
I am surprised at your excellence.
Surprised at me, mademoiselle? Why?
Oh, you get so angry at the mention of Bouzir and are jealous of it, yet you do nothing about it.
What is there to be done? If it were within my province...
Let Mullah al-Hasrin have his Bouzir, your excellence. What is to prevent you from establishing your own pleasure city?
A pleasure city of my own?
A city built of marble instead of plaster, surrounded by waving palms, perfumed by rose gardens.
Oh, wonderful. I can see it now. Each pavilion will be a palace in miniature.
Yes.
With painted ceilings, walls hung with mirrors, and costly draperies.
Marvel.
Column with mosaics. Arches filled with flowers.
Beautiful.
Gardens gay with the song of birds. Fountains and baths scented with rose water.
Oh, your excellence, you have the foresight of genius. I am sure Bouzbir fades to nothing by comparison.
Oh, my city of pleasure shall have thousands of dancing girls and entertainers from all over the world. The tourists will flock to Karamish to see my oasis of love.
Then your only opposition will be the gaming tables of Bouzbir.
I shall attend to that. I shall open a casino like your Monte Carlo, where my guests can play roulette. And I'll open the greatest cabaret in the world. I'll be... Oh, but enough of this daydreaming. It cannot be done.
Cannot be done. With all the power your excellence has, such a marvelous center cannot be established.
No, it is impossible.
But why?
The treasury has not enough money.
Oh, surely you can get the resident general to use his influence and have his government lend you the money.
No, the resident general would not trust me. But I have it. He would trust you.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of his countrywomen. If you suggested to him he might do it.
Oh, but your excellence...
I would give you 50,000 francs with which to retain his influence.
Oh, and... what will you give for mine?
Whatever you ask.
Well, all I ask is to be made the star of your cabaret in the City of Pleasure.
I do not know of any reason why that should not be so.
Tout très bien. And as soon as you give me the money, I shall see the resident general. And then... Where is the pastor?
Pasha not here.
When will he return, Kabira? I have news for him.
Pasha return when he returns. The city general, what he say?
Oh, you know where I went.
Yes. Pasha tell me. Pasha tell all to his favorite.
Well, the resident general approved the plan for the city of pleasure. The army should be ready very soon.
Good. That makes Pasha glad. Make me glad.
That makes us all glad. The city of pleasure will be the most beautiful city in the world.
Inshallah.
Did the Pasha tell you of his plan? Of the pavilions of marble with painted ceilings and walls hung with mirrors and costly draperies, columns of mosaics, arch filled with flowers, gardens gay with the song of birds, fountains and baths scented with rose water.
I know.
The city will be surrounded by waving palms and perfumed with rose gardens.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I suppose you women of Morocco are so used to things like that, it doesn't interest you anymore. But to a European woman, oh, a place like that is paradise.
City will be beautiful.
It will be famous, Kabira. Famous, do you understand? People will come in great numbers from Europe, Asia, from all over the world. Money will flow into the treasury like water.
Money can buy more clocks.
More clocks? But Kabira, you have your harem filled with clocks now. Look, look, tall ones, short ones, round ones, square ones, and none of them running. What do you want with more clocks, huh?
Look nice, all gold, make nice noise. Click, 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 click.
Oh.
When stop, make good place, put things away, see?
Oh, Saint Mary, this is the first time I have seen a grandfather clock used for a clothes closet.
Fool, fool, need more place, more money, buy more clocks. Well, everyone to his taste, Kabira.
Oh, do you know what the city of pleasure will bring me? I shall be the star of the cabaret.
No.
Yes, the pastor told me I would.
He told you. But you will not be chief entertainer.
Why not?
City of pleasure, Morocco city. Chief entertainer will be Morocco girl.
What?
there but red-haired like native girl, not white-faced girl. Pasha say he make his case. He changed mind.
You are sure that Pasha changed his mind?
Yes.
I am not going to be sorry.